All right, now we're moving to agenda paper number six. Long-term supply contracts. April?
Yep. Now, agenda paper six. This paper was reposted earlier this week with an amended Appendix A, and hard copies of the revised wording have also been distributed. Agenda paper six, you received a request to clarify the accounting for long-term supply contracts raw material when the purchaser of the raw material agrees to make significant prepayments to the supplier. And the question considered was whether the purchaser should accrete interest on those prepayments. We conducted outreach to collect evidence about whether those long-term supply contracts included a financing component or whether the purchaser made the prepayment for other reasons, but had a very limited response. And in July, you were unable to draw conclusions about whether this type of transaction is widespread, whether there's diversity in practice, or whether the diversity identified in 2011 is due to there being two types of long-term contracts, one type that contains a financing component and one type that doesn't, or whether the effect of recognizing any financing component separately as interest would be material to the entity. And in the absence of evidence about this issue, and details of the facts and circumstances relating to this type of transactions, you tentatively decided in July that you could not address this topic efficiently and effectively. The paper analyzes the comment letters received on that tentative agenda decision. We received three comment letters. One agrees with the tentative agenda decision for the reasons given. The other two respondents raise some concerns. Firstly, that IS-2, IS-16, and IS-38 only contain guidance about deferred payments but not about advance payments. That there was a draft interpretation on the recognition of revenue which identifies a different recognition trigger for the buyer and seller. And that the title of the tentative agenda decision refers to IS-38 but not to IS-16. We agree with that last point, and we recommend that the title is changed to IS-2 Prepayments and Long-Term Supply Contracts, which is the title used in the appendix. Now, we don't think, however, that the other matters that were raised in the comment letters provide you with any new evidence or information about these types of transactions that would support a further discussion of the issue. And we think that your conclusion at the July meetings are still valid, and consequently, we recommend finalization of the agenda decision as worded, but with the revised title. Do you agree with the staff recommendation to finalize the tentative agenda decision?
Martin?
Yes. Well, based on the result of the outreach and based on the fact that, in general, these issues might relate to many facts and circumstances which we do not have evaluated, I absolutely agree with the final wording as drafted with the staff.
Ali?
A small question. I know that the request related to the raw material supply contract. But what if the contract was long-term contract for supplying semi-finished goods or even finished goods? Would we have a different attitude? I mean, the problem is not raw materials. It is a long-term supply contract of something which is defined under the contract. So maybe the wording could be made more general, saying that any time you have a supply contract, which is long-term, you have to ask the question, is there a financing component?
Does the supply contracts not cover the supply of semi-finished goods? Or?
Well, raw materials, for many people, has a meaning of something which is untransformed. It is really raw. It's like ore, or it's like aluminium, whatever, metals, but it could be a long-term contract for supplying engines which have been developed by a plant making engines, aluminium engines, to a car manufacturer. It could be a such a long-term. It's not raw materials.
So you'd recommend removing
raw materials
of raw materials after long-term.
Gary, did you want to come in, or did I just fail to turn your light off there? Miguel?
Yes. I'm not comfortable with this, that we are recording revenue without cash flow and having that in the first period and later on having the expense in the second period. So I don't think that is prudent or in line, so to speak, with a general view on when you can take revenue. And my understanding is that both EY and the German standard setter here is also not in favor for finalizing this. So in my mind, the section after, or the sentence after, in the mid third sector there, where it says that it should be reflected, should be accounted for separately, I think that two sentences should be removed.
This is the one which refers to IFRS 15?
Yeah, the Infrastructure Committee observed, however, that when the financing components is identified long-term, blah, blah, blah.
So that's the third paragraph.
Yeah, right.
Third paragraph in the two sentences. Mike.
Although I think, weren't we waiting for the publication of IFRS 15 just to see if we could make that link?
Yeah.
I don't know what other views.
No, I thought that that was the view of the committee too, that it was important to make these observations. Tony?
We'll just go around here. I support the finalising the agenda decision as drafted. I think that what IFRS 15 helps us to do is to identify that there are two things going on here. There is a financing and there is the purchase of raw materials or anything else, as Philippe suggested. I think there are two things going on here, and we should account for the two things separately. So I support finalising it. I'd have no objection to the suggestion that Philippe made.
Bob?
Yeah, I'm also supportive of the revised wording of the handout we got today for this issue and finalising. I think that's right. I think we are skirting, you know, the difficult issue is identifying when there is a financing component or not. But I think that's just, it's going to be so facts and circumstance based, it's going to be very difficult for us to deal with. So I'm fine with this.
John?
I agree with finalizing. I think we should be taking this issue on. I think there's an issue of interpretation here as to whether prepayments should be, whether the financing component should be recognized, and if there is, in what, how that financing component should be identified from other elements. I think there's a valid question as to whether the time value is automatically a financing component, and I think we've left a lot of matters of interpretation unaddressed in this issue. So I'm not in favor of finalizing.
So you would be in the same camp as the German Standards Center?
Yeah, okay.
Carl?
We are still missing the nature of this kind of transaction. I did a small outreach in the jurisdiction I come from, and I found an example exactly in this situation. It's a relevant example for a public company with no clue in the disclosures what is the nature of this transaction. Therefore, I think we can go on discussing this situation.
Charlotte?
I agree with John and Carl. I see these. I find it really hard to see that these haven't come up in the outreach. I mean, even the day I saw the agenda decision, I'd seen two that day. And it just seems to me that maybe for some reason they're not coming because people like the ambiguity at the moment. I think my view is, I think to Tony's point, it doesn't. This agenda decision doesn't say there are two things in this. It says there may be two things. And in my view, there is a financing component. In any long-term prepayment, there is always a financing component. The question is how significant it is. Is it sort of netted against something else? But there is one. So I think by not dealing with the issue, we sort of enable people to carry on not recognising it and effectively using this way of basically getting hidden financing.
Reinhardt?
Given that the outreach didn't produce much in the way of results, and I think others have suggested that perhaps there's a bigger issue that the outreach hasn't identified, but given that's a fact, I don't disagree with not taking it on the agenda. What I'm concerned about, and it's consistent with the comments I made in July, is although we talk about two things going on, one is purchase of or long-term supply contract and financing, I think there may be a third thing that we talked about, which was securing supply. And so what this agenda decision, or at least the last, it doesn't acknowledge that there may be other reasons for entering into these contracts. It's almost as if there's a presumption there may be a financing component, and therefore that should be split out and segregated from everything else. And so that raises the issues that I think Ernst & Young's comment letter and the German Standard Center pointed out in terms of when do you, how much of a is the financing component, how do you bifurcate, et cetera. So that's the wording. It's really the last two sentences in the third paragraph that trouble me, by virtue of the fact that they don't acknowledge that there may be other reasons for entering into the agreement and not providing any guidance as to how to segregate any financing component, assuming there are other reasons for entering into this arrangement.
Okay, Martin, and then I'll ask Bonnie to come in.
I read our final text a little bit different. We write something about IFRS 15 revenue from contract with customers. So that means I'm selling something. And if I sell something, IFRS 15 tells me that I have to consider an interest rate and the financing component. Here we have the reverse situation. That's the case. And it does not necessarily then lead me to the conclusion that I have to separate a financing component. So for that reason, I believe there is, well, sufficient, I'll probably say flexibility in doing a judgment with regard whether it is significant supply, whether there are strategic elements in, whether I have a specific unit pricing with a financing component, whether I have to pay back a specific nominal amount or not. That's all not in here. And to read with regard to that paragraph here, that I have to account for financing component and I have to apply the same philosophy as IFRS 15, I'm not able to get that out of this text here. So therefore, I'm fine with it.
Okay, I think. Can you try that one more time? You don't. What is it that you thought the text?
I do not believe that this text is written in a way that I have to apply IFRS 15 reverse to a situation when I'm purchasing raw material. This is not what our final outcome is saying. It says IFRS 15 says that if you have, but I'm not the seller of something, I'm the purchaser of something. And this text does not tell me that I have to apply IFRS 15 in a reverse situation.
Are you just saying that IFRS 15 gives the general principle?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mandate that you would have to apply it to this particular example?
Okay. Okay, I was in the agenda, in the appendix A in the formal version. The new one is a little bit more detailed. I agree to the formal one, but not to the new one. I'm an honest person.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine. So I would vote in favor to go back to the formal version, which was distributed.
Bonnie?
I generally agree with where the staff has gotten to, and I think it clarifies that, if I remember correctly, the guidance already talks about if there's deferrals of payments, that there is interest included, and so I think this was just to clarify that if there's an advance of prepayment, if there is a significant financing component, to separate it, which gave a little bit of parity. I think it does beg the larger question of how do you determine if it's significant, which maybe that's helpful in the reference to IFRS 15, but I don't disagree with what's written here in the agenda decision.
Young Soo?
Yeah, I just want to say I support the staff decision on this agenda decision. What I'm seeing is that in this agenda decision, we just say that whenever there is a financing component, we have to separate out. We don't say anything about, like, you know, securing the supply or the how to bifurcate that. We just simply say the basic principle, so that I just support the staff decision.
Bruce, and then Tony, and then we'll wrap it up.
Thanks, Wayne. I was just kind of coming back to some of the comments that were said earlier by people about, you know, that if we don't address it, we've got hidden financing and a whole lot of exciting things. To me, this is the product of principle-based standards. I mean, if we're doing is reiterating in an agenda decision that the principle of having to split this out and account for the interest is there. And we're saying that is consistent when you go through 16, 38, 5, whatever, even in 2 in paragraph 18. We've laid out a principle that says you need to worry about the financing component. If we're going to start trying to, at any point, break that down into now what is significant, what is this, what are the reasons, I mean, I think we're just heading down a slope of rules-based accounting. We're suddenly going to come up with 10 different scenarios about how you do it. So I actually very much support the way it's been written. I like the fact that we acknowledge that in the last sentence it says we acknowledge that judgment is required to identify them, and I think we should apply judgment in that way.
I was going to say almost exactly the same as Bruce. I think it doesn't say, I think Charlotte hit me up.
I said there are two things going on. I think it's quite right. There may be two things going on, and this tells us to apply judgment to decide when there are two things going on. And so for me, that works, and it gives people the flexibility to go away and look at their circumstances and decide whether there's a financing component.
Okay, let's try a simple. How many would object to the revised version of the agenda decision that you have in front of you?
2, 3, 4, 5. 5 object.
Okay, then it goes.
Shall I put through the removal of raw materials as well?
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, we're moving on now to agenda paper 7. Wade, you had so much fun this morning, you decided to come back and play some more.